Conrad Bars and his associate Trua were psychologists from the last century, Catholic, who integrated their psychological science and practice with the theology of St. Thomas Aquinas. And their basic understanding of the brokenness in human experience, psychological, spiritual, emotional, in all its forms, at the root of it was the privation or the lack of love. They argued that the core of every brokenness in the human mind and heart that manifests itself psychologically and through other ways is rooted in the fact that we grew up deprived of necessary love. And it marks the human experience. Ever since original sin, our love has been broken, and we have grown up love deprived. Maybe you had an absent, emotionally absent father, though physically present, or a mother, or they were abusive, or alcoholic, or addicted in some kind. Maybe you grew up and your parents divorced, and at the core of that experience was a feeling of abandonment, or it was my fault. We didn't get the love, the hugs, the affirmation, the stability, the kindness, the beauty that we need to thrive. And we become hardened to that. We learn to survive in a love-deprived life. And the more deprived we are of love, the more hurting we are. And the more hurting we are, the more we hurt others. You've heard the phrase, possibly, hurt people, hurt people. And so in this experience of deprivation of love and the brokenness that comes from it and the hardness of heart that develops from it to survive and the hurt that we continue to perpetuate that was done to us toward others, even unknowingly or unwillingly, breaks us down. And the joy of the gospel and this command to love seems almost laughable. Even in my experience as a Catholic in the church, where is the joy? Where is the love? It's hard to find, frankly, in most Catholic churches throughout the world. And what happens in our brokenness in this love-deprived experience is that religion becomes either an escape, just another routine to add to the things I have to do to not go to hell, or my mom, even 80 years later, telling me, if you don't go to Mass, you're going to hell, so I go. And in the midst of attending Mass, even faithfully, we can be some of the most angry, miserable, and hurtful people you've ever met. I can tell you that in my experience, having worked in the world many summers throughout high school and college, in all different capacities, I've often experienced that some of the most hurtful and malicious people I've ever met were in the Catholic Church, not out there. We're love deprived. And that love leads to all kinds of problems in our lives and those of others. And religion can become, in that context, an escape, a drug, religion, the opioid of the masses, as a communist would say, or just another expression of hoping for something or the other. But our lives aren't fundamentally changed. We're still deprived of love. And into that deprivation, into that darkness, Jesus speaks the words of the gospel today. Remain in my love. As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. Well, but my parents had a horrible relationship and were verbally abusive to one another and to me. Remain in my love. But my siblings were hurtful and harmful or abusive or bullied me. But remain in my love. But my husband left me, or my wife left me, or I was cheated on. Remain in my love. I put all my hope in this person to satisfy and fulfill me, thinking that this person or the children from them would make me feel complete. And I still feel empty and worn out. Remain in my love. And what does it mean to remain in the love of Christ? We heard last week, two ways are essential. Otherwise, we're deluding ourselves. Keeping his commandments, and receiving the Eucharist worthily. free of original sin, and confessing faithfully and regularly. Only then can we have the tools, the building blocks, to truly remain in his love. But all that comes from an experience of prayer that is not words we say, things we do, but rather resting in a relationship of him who loves us as we are. So often prayer are just the multiplication of words. And it sounds like that sometimes when we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace. It sounds like that. I'm not to judge anyone, but I don't speak to anybody like that when I'm in love, when I'm captivated by their gaze. How are you doing? How was your day today? It was great to see you. I'm so glad we got out to have dinner. How's your kids doing? It's great to see you. Your hair looks beautiful. I love your clothes. No one does that. But we do that with the Lord because we're deprived of love. And Jesus tells us, just remain in my love. The saints describe prayer as simply, I look at him and he looks at me and I know I'm loved. They hardly say anything. In fact, the highest levels of prayer called contemplation, actually, literally one hardly uses any words whatsoever, but rather through sighs and groans and inner movements of the heart, we experience an intimacy with God. Expressions of the heart that words cannot convey or capture. You see that when couples are in love after many decades together, they speak less and less, but the way a person breathes, how they move in their chair, the way they get up, you know how they're feeling. They don't say anything, but you know. Christ invites us to experience prayer as a resting in his love, a child sleeping on their mother's lap, a child sleeping on their father's shoulder as they hold them tight and secure. God invites us to experience love, to meet the deprivations that we have so profoundly suffered from and continue to suffer from. Because when we begin to break through those barriers and trust through prayer that God will love me and not hurt me, unlike my dad or my mom or my husband or my wife or my kids, or my neighbor, or my coworkers, or my boss, when I can rest in the love that God has for me unconditionally and trust and know that I am safe, that experience of love makes us flourish with joy. Faith begins to be an all-encompassing, joyful expression of reciprocal love rooted in gratitude. You know, when I was in college, I would help out at my parish summer camp. And we had these 4 and 5 year old kids, and I'm bad with names, but it didn't matter if I knew their names, because you'd call their name and then 2 seconds later, they're already distracted again. It was like herding cats. These 4-year-olds were a handful. And one of the things that I noticed and that I became keenly aware of is the fact that they were like sponges. Every little experience formed them almost permanently. We know that up until the age of 6, from psychological studies, what kids take in and experience has a lifelong formative impact on their view of the world, themselves, etc. And what was so amazing when they're 4, 5, 6 years old is how resilient they are. They come in crying because, you know, mom and dad dropped them off and they didn't want to come. And I tell her, your hair's so pretty, I love your shoes. And immediately they perk up and they forgot that they're crying and, hey, kids, let's go outside and play. Immediately they perk up. You know, when kids are feeling sad and you look them in the eye and tell them you're loved and you are good and I'm happy you're here, immediately they perk up. They're so resilient. They're so innocent. They're so little deprived of love yet. And so that the little love we show them and affirmation and hugs and kisses and I love you and I care for you and you're important, I'm glad you're here, the more they respond and they skip away. They can come to you in tears, and they literally go skipping away, smiling and laughing from a brief encounter of loving affirmation. Kids remind us how we used to be before all that stuff happened. They remind us how we can be. It's why Jesus tells us only the childlike will enter the kingdom of heaven. Those who are receptive to love and do not allow the deprivation of that love to form and mold us into that black, dark, empty void that characterizes so many of our lives. Remain in my love. It was amazing. I remember a kid, now we shouldn't do this nowadays, I know that, but when I was younger in college, a child got a lunch from the mom they hated, they didn't like, and I exchanged my food for theirs. Of course, you know, who knows if they had allergies or whatnot, that was not a good thing to do. But I exchanged my food for theirs, and they lit up. They were so happy that I would give them my lunch, and I would eat their lunch. And years later, as a deacon in that parish, and the child, now a teenager, remembered that moment. Deacon Eric, do you remember when? Of course not. Well, I just thank you so much. We had so much fun in summer camp with you. Wow. It was so simple, so little, so insignificant to me, but it's something they remembered. I had two rules. One, have fun. The second, do to other people what you want them to do to you. They usually remembered the first and forgot the second. And when they broke the second, I would tell them, what's the rule number two? And they would say, do to other people what you do to them that they do to you that you don't want them to do to you that you did to them. Something like that, yes. Life can be simple if we remain in his love. The commandments become not a burden, but a joyful path to freedom from vice and sin and enslavement to our most base desires. When we remain in God's love, we are filled with the joy that nothing can quench, that nothing can extinguish. We're filled with the love for others that's not based on their merits, their personality, their inspiration, but simply rooted in how much God loves me. And it doesn't matter how they are, it's who I am. And that's how I live. Not in reaction to them, but in response to God who loves me. We are profoundly love deprived. And until we exercise our religion as a relationship, it will never make amends. It will never heal us. It will never change us. It's just another routine or an obligation or an escape or a way to repress the deprivation of love. Jesus today invites us to remain in his love. As the Father loves me, so I love you. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Jesus has told us this so that his joy may be in you and your joy might be complete.